Good evening. This is Jean-Pierre. And you are listening to Dream Path. Tonight, I have been given the honor, so listen up. Our guest tonight is Jacques Bordeaux. And Jacques Bordeaux is asking us this evening to listen to the songs of the angels. And now this evening, we will bring you something so special. So listen up. Stay with us. You will be more than gratified. You will be inspired. Now join the hosts of Dream Path, Dennis and Jera, in conversation with Jacques Bordeaux.
Now, recently, you've been able to meet with other individuals in large group gatherings who also are sharing their insights with you and you with them. And those particular experiences seem to excite you the most, and really got you going in many ways in writing the book that you're writing now. Is that partially what got you actually sitting down and writing, or were you writing over a period of time?
When the major ha-ha moments or green dot moments occurred is when I started looking back and saying, okay, all these other moments, how it all started was in the early 80s, I met this lady named Ruth in Dorval, and she invited me over for tea, and being that I rarely drink tea, I was curious as to why she asked me at that time to leave a bit of coffee or tea grinds at the bottom of the cup.
Oh, yes.
And she says, well, I'll give you a reading. And I didn't even know what a reading was at the time, but I was curious enough to find out. When I was done drinking the tea, she looked in the cup and she started revealing events that would happen in my future. I mean, I was a 20-year-old mechanic, so I was a little bit skeptical of what was going on, but, and she revealed four things, And all four things did happen over the next 20 years. This was in the summer. In the winter, she invited me once more, and she did the exact same thing, looking into the cup. And I was curious. I said, Ruth, what do you see when you look at the cup? And she would close her eyes and kind of meditate. And she sees it's a black and white film that goes in my mind. She says, I can see your life evolve. Mm. And I found that interesting. Then I said, why do you always, you're only telling me about the positive things that happen? And she says, well, I could see some negative things happen. She says, I could tell you next week that you'll have a car accident. And what will that change? I will have already seen it. And I took that as wisdom, and I said, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, the next week, it was during a snowstorm, I was driving home from work, and an elderly gentleman did hit the side of my car. And I realized she had seen this, but she didn't tell me. She did tell me in a roundabout way, but that's one thing that made me realize there's something more than what we know or see.
So do you think there is predestination? Do you think things are going to happen the way they're going to happen? Or do we have the ability to make changes in our life?
Well, I definitely think we can make changes. I took an NLP course. It's how to talk with ourselves, talk with other people, and with the spiritual world, in other words. And during this course, I realized that we are programmed from birth with our well-intentioned parents, through school, through work, all kinds of different influences come into our lives. And what I realized is our point of view, or what we can see at the end of all these assimilations, is pretty narrowed. And during the course, they had 30 exercises, which would gradually remove these filters, and my field of visibility became so much broader. And I realized that I myself had been operating with the brakes on for so many years, and with this exercise I was able to remove my foot off the brake, and I see things much clearer now, differently. If you combine that with the spiritual events that I've been living, there's so much more that we can do.
Yeah, and it's so interesting as well. You know, your background is not, from someone who's pursued the spiritual. As you say, you're a mechanic. I don't know if you still are, or you're more of a writer now.
Well, that's new to me also. If you'd asked me 2 years ago if I'd be writing a book, it wasn't in my field of vision. It was just through forces of events, actually, I guess. There was so much more to be discovered, and I took my foot off the brake, and I just said, okay, this is going to happen, and I started writing.
And you did start to write, and your background, just to come back to that, because for many people, walking this wonderful planet Earth, we are all in different stages of life and different areas of life. So your experience and how you're sharing it in this book comes from a perspective of the ordinary Joe, in a sense, having a spiritual experience and being a little fearful at first to share that with others, but yet when you did, they opened up to you.
Yes, it's amazing. I am so surprised, especially on the onset. Well, how it all evolved is I found one individual. His name is Murray, and I wrote this in the book. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about the experience. A great mentor of mine in one of the LMP course, Roger Ellerton, one day suggested that I write a quick article about any subject that may interest me, because he noticed that I was holding back academically. He asked me if something had happened in school when I was younger, and I had been bullied and had moved several times from school to school because of family events.
Right.
I never realized that I could be more than what I was exhibiting because of experiences I had when I was young. So I went home that evening, and I wrote a text about what had happened when I found this gentleman named Murray in his apartment. And after I wrote this text, I put it in the lobby of the building, explaining some spiritual messages that I had received from Murray in his apartment. And people who would look at it, there was three fields of opinions. One-third either didn't care or didn't believe it, of what the experience is spiritually.
Right.
One-third would be curious and say, well, this is interesting, keep writing. And the other third is what would floor me all the time. They would share with me what they experienced. And I'm thinking, my goodness, these phenomena are all around us, yet there's so little spoken about, you know?
Yeah, well, one-third is a lot. That shows that there is a need to be able to share those experiences with each other and not, you know, hide them behind closed doors.
Yes, the more we speak about it, our knowledge base will broaden and be easier to understand what is happening.
You have been receiving messages over the years. Has it all been from someone that you've known and has departed? Or is it actually these incredible encounters that you have found so many dying or dead individuals just doing your daily work and finding people that have crossed over? Or is it a little bit of both that you've been experiencing?
My sense and feeling of it all is these are people that have crossed my path during their living time, and as they would pass across, they seem to have, I don't know, some kind of connection.
With you?
With me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you an example. In 1993, there was a lady living next door to one of my shops. I'm a handy person right now. I'm a maintenance person, and I have a workshop which was tied to other townhouses. And I would see this lady in the morning coming into work and as I left in the evening. So one evening, it was in the summer. This is 23 kilometers from my work site to my home. Mm-hmm. I was doing some drywalling in the garage, preparing the garage to be painted. The lights went out, and I got a chill. And I thought, oh, this is unusual. I mean, it's a, you know, summer night. It was warm. So I went to the house, and I opened the door. And I asked my wife, Sandra, I said, Sandra, has the power been cut? And she says, no, I'm watching TV. There's, you know. So she came to the garage and asked me, well, what's wrong? Well, I said, the lights went out by themselves, and I'm cold now. Then the lights came back on. Well, she says, are you catching the flu? I said, no. And even if I was, it wouldn't explain the lights going out in the garage. Mm-hmm. Being that we had no answer to what had just happened, we just shrugged it off and resumed what we were doing. This happened about 7:30 that evening. The next morning, I went into work, and there was a few people around my service van, and I said, well, what's going on? Well, they said, did you hear the news? And I said, no, what? Julie, the 33-year-old tenant who lived next door to our shop, died the previous evening at 7:30 from a heart attack. That's when I realized, oh, there's a link. There's something that happened here. Mm-hmm. Julie's energy came around and I guess told me farewell and crossed. And these were events that I couldn't deny anymore. Earlier on, a few things did happen, and you say, well, you know, coincidence or happenstance or whatever. But, I mean, when these events start happening often, you can't look around it anymore, and you really look at it from a different perspective. So this happened three other times where people would come and visit me as they left, and you were asking, these were people that did cross my path throughout my life.
So they quite often had unfinished business that somehow in the physical realm you would put the connections together and get the work done.
in some sense of the word, that's right. Mm-hmm. When you people started like into the radio shows and things like this, did you find that everything would fall in front of you? You would meet the right person or make the right contact or... Mm-hmm.
Could really feel the connection, though. You know, as soon as it started, when, to make a very long story short, the actual connection with the network, sending out the music, starting our own show happened so quickly and so fluidly. Yeah. I mean, it was natural. It was always a challenge because we always had to do something for the first time. Now, isn't that a great way of stretching?
Yes, I guess so. But it's always positive. If we look on the positive side, it's always great to stretch, you know? Because once it becomes easier, we look back and say, well, you know, I personally thought, boy, these are big steps that I'm taking. Mm-hmm. But when you become comfortable in the shoes, I mean, you just go to the next step.
Self-published?
Yes, it is.
So you are the publisher?
Well, I wrote the manuscript, and I flew to Victoria, Trafford, and I gave them the manuscript. That's pretty well what happens. I had the same experience myself. I didn't know anything about writing, and I just started writing and writing and writing, and I had no editor. And I called someone looking for an apartment for a tenant. And I ended up asking the lady, well, what did you used to do before you retired? She says, I was a grade school teacher teaching fourth graders how to write books. And that's how I found my editor. And then the next thing I ended up, I needed a publishing company to publish the book. So I found Trafford. So I flew out there and I gave them the manuscript. And all they did was pretty well just condense form and put it together. I had the artwork done myself. To an Ottawa graphic artist.
Yeah, it's. I really do love your cover and your artwork
gorgeous.
And your card. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll tell Joe. He'll be pleased. Yeah, I just put the idea in front of him. I said, Joe, this is what I have, the vision I have in my mind. And he was very creative. And within hours, he just sent this stuff back. And I was really impressed. Like, I've never done anything like this, you know.
Yeah.
But, I went to Trafford and... They make one proof, they send it back to me, and I corrected it, and I send it back a second time. And now what I do is people can go to Amazon.com.ca and a few other internet book providers, and I order books myself. I have some delivered at my house, and I've been selling them on my own. I've been sending some to larger publishing firms, Hay House, Doubleday and these organizations, hoping that one will see the merit and the value in what I'm trying to do and give it more life. Like, you know, I can propel this as much as I can on a personal basis, but if I can get a large machine to pass it out. You've been around spirituality for many years. The book, my book right now, do you find it? It's like... Spirituality 101. It's very basic and easy to understand to a lot of people.
Yes, it's very easy to understand. Very easy to understand.
But it's very basic. There's people that are a lot more advanced. I find when I cross paths with people and they start sharing with me and my jaw drops all the time, and I said, you're keeping this to yourself? And for various reasons, people, they choose not to. Either they were ridiculed in the past or whatever. But, I mean, there's people out there that have experienced some really interesting things. I'm excited with what I've learned, but it's still basic level pretty well.
I don't think it's basic level when you're going through it, but because I've never had someone sit down in front of me and have a spirit of somebody come into that being's body.
Although you have in a...
I have?
Yeah, Shirley. In the message you got from her.
That's true. When I was living up in Bancroft, I was trying to get in touch with this kahuna in Hawaii. He's a healer. And he wasn't answering my email, and I went next door to my neighbor. And I'm sitting there having a cup of tea with my neighbor, and the next thing you know, she looked Indian.
Wow.
And she started with these movements with her eyes, and she had this, like, knowingness and this smirk on her face, and she would pull her glasses down on the end of her nose, which she never did. And she's looking at me, smiling, coming out with all this information. And then I find out the next day that this guy had called me and was trying to get in touch with me. And that's when she... Oh, God, yeah. It was, you're right, yeah.
You amazing, eh?
You forget.
Yeah, and that's why... And actually, Jara's doing the same thing. She has so many different ventures, and she keeps on... wanting to write, well, she does write about it constantly. And your book reminded me of that, too. I mean, those insights at different times of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, okay, there it was, you've written it down in your way.
Mm-hmm.
And because you do that, people will pick up on that in themselves. They'll go, oh, yeah, I remember something like that in my life.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, but, you know, for a while anyway, and now I'm remembering it.
Yeah.
My personal feeling is everyone on the planet should write a book about themselves.
Well, you know, because that you mentioned that, I met Ray Zahab about a month ago. He's an Ottawa ultramarathoner. He ran across Africa, actually, to help raise awareness and money for drilling wells.
Well.
And that's one statement he said during his presentation, and it struck a chord with me. It says, every time someone passes, we lose an entire library.
Quite exciting is happening right now.
Well, yes, there are things happening, like when Jara called, well, the upcoming show, the taping you wanted to do.
Yes.
And then she shared with me her story about being on the phone and someone asking where God was, asking Jara where she thought God was. And then Jara shared about the drum coming down the steps and when she counted 13.
Yes.
It correlated with a lot of number 13s that I experienced for over a week.
Really?
Yeah, and that's how it all boiled down to an event that happened on March 13th when my sister communicated to me through Diane. And now what's happening is there's a number 8 that keeps recurring, and I'm thinking it's building up to another moment that's going to be evolving shortly.
Is this your communication with your sister, Carol?
Actually, Carol came to me. I was in Toronto this past weekend.
Yes.
There was Dr. Wayne Dwyer, Greg Braden, Carolyn Miss. They were all doing a show, a presentation.
Yes, yes.
And Sunday afternoon at 3:30, actually, there was about 1,200 people at Greg Braden's presentation. And there's a lady beside me who was observing the show, and all of a sudden her earring popped right out of her ear and it went flying maybe 3 feet ahead of her. And she looked at me and she says, what is this all about? She's never had anything like this happen to her.
Right.
And in my mind I thought, okay, there's a presence here, and I suspected that it might be Carol. So I didn't say anything. I just kept this internally.
Right.
The lady picked up her earring and reinserted it in her ear. She says, I have to go to the washroom now. She went to the washroom, and on her way back 5 minutes later, she picked up the dime just before she reached me, and she handed me the dime. And this is one way that Carol's been communicating with me that she's around, is by having me find dimes. So I knew Sunday afternoon Carol was in the audience.
Now, what do you feel this communication means at this time to you?
To be aware that there is more than what we are experiencing on Earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
And once we become receptive, to be acceptive of the messages that are sent to us. I mean, these are synchronicities that lead to other things. And it's just to be aware, okay, this is a sign that's coming, and I'll keep it in my field of vision until the next one that comes, that it creates links. I'll give you an example. I had a tenant named Gary. Actually, you know him. He came to my shop at 4:30 Monday afternoon. And out of the blue, during our conversation, he says, Jacques, he says, you want to write number 8 on a piece of paper and carry it in your wallet with you. He says he had heard about this, and it was to bring good luck. So I didn't question it. I wrote 8 in my wallet,
yeah,
on a piece of paper, and I put it in my wallet. The next day in the afternoon, I get an emergency phone call to go to an address because there was a significant flood going on.
Right.
I hopped in my van, and I drove to the apartment, and the toilet had broke at 11 the previous evening.
Ooh.
So in other words, the water has been running for over 14 hours from the top floor to the basement.
Oh, my God.
So in a hurry now, I have to go in this crawl space underneath the floor of the house. And
right,
the crawl space, I don't think that it's more than 2 feet high.
Ew.
So I had to go underneath, and I'm crawling on my stomach, hands and knees. I have to go the whole length of the house to the other end to turn the valves off. So I'm going through dirt and cobweb and everything. When I reached the shut-off valves and I shunned the light on it, there was a little chain with a brass tag on it, an identifying tag.
Yeah.
And there was a number 8 on it.
No.
Swear to God. So I realized, okay, I'm onto something. There's a series of 8 now that are evolving.
Yeah.
And they will boil up to an event or something. As I'm crawling out, I mean, there's no reason to have anything in this basement. It's just dirty and rough, and there was no storage or anything.
Right.
Came across a small cutout cardboard with a butterfly in it, a princess holding a butterfly.
Yeah.
And if you go to www.august08.org,
yes,
the theme of the movie that's presented is a butterfly. It's the butterfly effect.
Now, you progress through your book, and you get to a point where you get to the second part of it, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called An Author's Phenomenal Dream.
Yes.
And you talk about a time where we can all get together in a way that we can all express that in whatever form we like on August the 8th, 2008.
Mm-hmm. My original intent with the book was to simply share phenomenal events, for people to open up and share more, and like we said earlier, to expand our knowledge base. And I had approximately 200 pages written up at this point, and some material I knew fit in the book, and some other material I wasn't sure if it belonged. So I meditated the one evening on this particular subject, and I asked my higher self to please help me decipher what goes in the book and what, you know, should be removed. The following morning when I woke up, I still didn't have the answer. So what I did is I filled my bathtub full of water, and I lit a few candles, and I sat in the tub, and I meditated for 20 minutes. And what came, it came like a wave. And it's hard to explain. When it hits you, it's an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even question it anymore. What happened is when the wave hit me, it said, whatever you've done so far is just practice. Start over. So I understood that the 200 pages were just like a rough draft. But what amazed me is part 2 of the book, which I had never even imagined yet, in maybe 2 or 3 seconds, I had the entire second part of the book in my head.
Yeah.
And I asked myself, my goodness, you know, this is so amazing.
For passages, waiting for time to open the doors to the evening. This guy's searching in vain. Must be a sign wave. It must be a sign
listening audience, I'd like to let everybody know that our guest today is Jacques Bordeaux, and his book that we've been talking about is Listen to the Songs of the Angels, A Convergence of Spirituality, Phenomena, and Intent. And you can, if anyone is interested in not only purchasing your book or going to your site, would you like to let everybody know what that is?
Yes. For the book's site itself, it's www.angels-songs.com. They can also go to Spirit Guides Productions, www.thebookofmormon.com. And for the event, which is part two of the book, you can visit and get information at www.augo8.com.
Oh, I haven't even seen that site.
Okay. It's a movement that I'm putting forth, mm-hmm. and I want to see how many people will actually join. And it's a peace and harmony movement, which would take place August 8, 2008, for 8 consecutive days.
And in the back of your book is the invitation itself, A Ticket of Hope.
That's right.
An unabridged invitation to everyone to awaken at the conscious and subconscious levels, 0808 on 0808. What is particular, why did you pick that date? Or how did that date come about?
It was an easy date to remember. And secondly, there was a few things that seemed to be evolving towards that certain date. The Olympics, actually, are starting on August 8th. The U.S. Congress was reviewing its budget for the military in Iraq, which had about the same time frame to be reviewed. And there's a few other things along the way, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if all these events converged and people used it as a momentum to work towards peace and harmony? So there's a lot of correlations with what is coming my way.
That is true. And how do you feel? What do you feel it is communicating to you? How deep does this go for you?
Very deep, actually. What it has, it's done many things. The one thing that I've become aware is I need to slow down and actually take a step back and take a look at the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on globally. And by taking a look at the whole picture, I realize there's lots that need to be done. But as we go our daily life, we kind of shut out what's all around us and we just focus on our immediate life, right? Mm-hmm. I have my job, I pay my bill, everything is fine. But when we take a step back, it's not just about us, it's about everyone.
Opening
up spiritually has made me realize that by helping others' life, I'm helping myself also. There's a consciousness that we are all one, and mm-hmm. that opening up spiritually makes you realize that this is important.
Especially now.
Yeah. It's brought me also to a different mindset.
Yeah.
I meditated for a little while last fall, and what I experienced, I had a few premonitions and a few astral travel, and being aware that there's a more important realm out there, when I came back, you come back with love. When you visit the other side, it's all about compassion, it's about love. Your mindset changes from what we are driven through our ego on Earth,
right,
and what's going on the other side. So the trick is to go into the void, get what we need, and come back and live it. Live this love, live this sharing, this compassion, and life becomes much more easier.
Oh, that's beautifully put, Jacques. Thank you. Your communications with your sister and with others who've also shared insights with you as well, do you feel that they'll continue with this communication with you? Do you feel that there'll be others who will be communicating with you as well?
There's no doubt in my mind, and not only with me, with a lot of people.
Yes.
I have the opportunity at work to meet a wide range of individuals from all kinds of countries, various different religions, different part of the world. And what I've come to understand is more and more people, there's a lot of people praying, which we don't realize. People say, oh, there's some areas their churches are, attendance is dwindling.
Yeah.
But what's happening in my experience is there's more and more people praying from home. Praying.
Right.
They could be in a car, they could be in their home apartment or in the evening with the family, or, and my sense is that from any different faith or religion, or even there's some people who don't have a religion, they all pray to a creator or a higher source. And what I get the sense is we all pray for the same, just under different names. You were asking, do I think it will continue, that I will receive these communication and messages? Yes, I do. It boils down to, once you really believe and clearly ask what it is, whatever it is that you, the information or guidance that you want, and you are receptive, it comes. It's been my experience in the last 2 years, and I've never really researched or studied, or these knowings have come to me as I progressed into my experience.
Yes.
And I truly believe now, I clearly ask, and it's amazing because I continuously get messages or guidance. And when I speak to these people throughout the day, when we share of our spiritual experiences or knowledge, a lot of other people are voicing, experiencing the same as I. It's just that it's kind of kept in the background. They'll open up and share with me once I initiate the discussion.
Yes, yes.
You should hear the language that comes back. It's amazing. I mean, we're all talking the same language. And this is on a weekly basis. I meet people all the time, new people.
Yes, yes.
And the language is the same. So there's no doubt in my mind this will continue, and it'll gain momentum.
Well, are you adding this part to your new book as well? Because this is a work in progress almost all the time, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I'm on my fifth chapter in my second book now. And it's interesting because a lot of experiences I'm going through right now correlate and tie into book one.
They do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jacques. We're going to take a bit of a break right now. We're going to have a word from one of the very awkward and funny individuals that appear on our show every once in a while. So we'll be right back.
This is Reverend Kelly coming to you from Radio City, Toronto. I know there are those of you out there that feel that you have been immobilized, scrutinized, paralyzed, downsized, criticized, materialized, lobotomized. Pick any word you want. Make your own word. Get it out. Let the anger out. And now know that there are angels. There are angels from far above that are ready to come down. Come down to your side and guide you. Just listen.
That's good.
So that's our commercial.
In your own personal experience, do we get messages from the start go?
I think so. I was thinking the very thought that we're discussing now today, this afternoon, I had so many exciting, profound experiences, and I was wondering sort of where the magic went.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it gone? And then I looked at it from another perspective, and I said, my God, there's more magic now than there ever was. You, Jara, you just are looking at it. You're more aware of it, so it's not so much a surprise to you now.
Right.
I'm more in acceptance that it's my everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has become quite transparent for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell when somebody's lying.
Okay, well, it's good, eh?
You know, if I'm not resonating with a person,
mm-hmm.
it's like the whole scenario will fade I won't see that person again. If I put energy into, well, why was that person like that? They're going to be in my face for the next 5 years till I learn the lesson.
So you let it run off your shoulder?
Yeah, I'm more in acceptance of the way other people are.
Mm-hmm.
And my world now is surrounded more by the magic.
Yeah.
So it's not as in a lot of ways it's more vibrant, but in quiet times I can go back into those real amazing experiences and say like I could go into stories about UFOs and things like that that would shock Gary, my brother.
Oh, really? You never shared them with him?
No.
No?
No. And now sometimes I feel like I'm living right on the craft.
Oh, yes?
Isn't that weird? It's just a sensation I get sometimes where this is my ship.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. It's a neat observation.
I feel very comfortable here. And why has it taken me so long to get up to the control panel?
That's a neat metaphor. I like it.
Yeah, it's. I really can't explain it, Jacques. You know, no, I can't. I think I'm here for a very grand purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of unfolds daily, but I find it very difficult to sometimes even want to stay here
mm-hmm.
when I see the outside world not reflecting what I believe it should be.
Right, yeah.
And then I'm such a energetic magnet that quite often I will pull the sadness and the negativity right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it will come through my body and I'll be sobbing and I don't know why I'm sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
So, being on the path and being open sometimes can be very detrimental to the health,
mm-hmm.
the emotional health. And of course, like you, I've experienced a lot of physical altercations or realignments in my body that you feel like you're dying when you're going through them.
Mm-hmm. So you did experience that, eh?
Yes.
Yes, I'm glad you shared, because it's reassuring to know that people have experienced something similar or close to what we've, and now you're sharing with me, and I'm thinking, you're good, there's someone else, you know.
Well, I'm trying to pick a story that I could tell. every time I hit the pillow, I would go into an altered state, and I couldn't sleep. And this went on for about a month, where every time I laid down, I would leave my body.
Wow. And you weren't meditating or anything? It just happened?
No, yeah, it just happened. Actually, I had gone on a spiritual course for a weekend.
Okay.
And something on that course opened me up too much.
Okay.
And I would be out in, I'd hit the pillow and I could feel my legs would drop physically through the bed. I could stick my arm out through a wall, and it was like I was afraid to open my eyes, because I felt if I opened my eyes it would really be happening, because
right.
my eyes were shut.
Okay.
And then I got through this period, I got a very heightened psychic awareness where I'd walk by people and I could read their thoughts, and
wow.
I could alter time. I'd be late for an appointment and I could make time go backwards so I was at the appointment on time. I've watched the clock at the subway station go around really fast just to make the arm go back to an hour before.
Yes.
I walked through a turnstile at the subway and I hadn't put my token in and the turnstile moved and let me go through.
That's awesome.
So
do you find though when you get these experiences you get high?
Yes.
It's exciting and it's hard to come back to
yes.
I mean, when Carol came through Diane, then I couldn't sleep that night, and the next day, here I have to go change locks and unblock toilets. It seems so mundane, but you still have to do the daily stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's right. This book is a very recent publication. Have you had any responses to it yet, or is this still just getting out to everyone?
Actually, I've had, like you say, it's recent, and I've only just begun.
We've only just begun to live.
Spreading the word out. But a lot of people are receptive, and they're asking me, well, what would you like us to do? And I tell them, it's up to you. Pick a cause. You know, you can donate time, you can donate money, whatever, anything that would help bring forth peace and harmony on Earth. I mean, it could be from the simplest thing to the most elaborate thing. It's open to anyone's imagination. Mm-hmm.
These are sending us very subtle messages, but those subtle messages seem to be becoming more and more clear.
Yes.
In terms of that communication. And
we
seem to be able to pick up on it more and more each time. It's a different kind of understanding. It's we use the word intuition and intuitive, but truly understanding what that means is exactly to experience it.
Yes.
And you have been experiencing this and wonderfully successfully sharing this with many individuals that are coming into your life and now through your book. And I congratulate you, Jacques Bordeaux, for being able to focus on this, yet at the same time stay open to new things and new communications that are coming your way.
Thank you very much, then. I noticed you were saying, and I guess that's your experience also, that more and more people are picking up on these messages or guidance or intuitive signs?
Yes.
Is it your experience that the messages and the guidance that we spiritually need is given to us in a timely fashion? In other words, if I'm going to experience something next week, I will get the tools or the information a few days prior. And when this moment happens, I become aware, oh, that is why I was given this last week or a few days ago. Have you had that happen to you?
Yes. It happens with me, Jacques, almost constantly.
Oh, really? So, okay. And I have to... You're sharing it with me because sometimes you format an idea, but unless somebody shares it with you, you don't really know for sure that's... It's totally accurate, but now you're reaffirming what I've been experiencing, and yes, I am on the right track.
Most certainly, and it's always interesting because no matter how much we know and how much we learn, it's so exciting because there needs to be the trust.
Yes.
I think it's really loving the moment that we've been given right now, no matter what it is.
Yes.
I mean, crawling down a crawl space, a 2-foot crawl space to see the number 8, my God.
It was quite a challenge, but when I saw the number on the valve, it was all worth it. It was like, okay, I got it. There's a reason why I'm down here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is neat is once people take a second, take a deep breath, and experience a nice moment of sharing or helping, it's kind of a euphoric. There's a bit of a high.
Yeah.
And then the more you do it, the more you're compassionate, and the more you share, the more you want to do it. It's what I'm personally experiencing.
Ah.
On a daily basis now, I'm looking for opportunities to experience this again. And people share it back. They say, oh, it's so nice. It's refreshing. It makes our whole environment much nicer.
Now, with all these experiences that you're having or have had with individuals who have crossed over to the other side, is there anything recently that we haven't read about or any revealing things that you've heard first here on Dream Path? So that is this something, is there something particular that you'd like to share with us?
I have so many events and people sharing so many things with me as the word is getting out about the book, mm-hmm. the movement, that I've actually started writing a second book, which I'm hoping to have done within the next 3-4 months.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. What two things that happened recently. My father-in-law passed on January 5th, mm-hmm. of 08. That was a Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, I was at home that evening, and I was looking for pictures to put on the website of the book. So I was going through 10 photo albums, trying to pick out the ones that I thought would fit best. Mm-hmm. One picture in particular drew my attention. There was a big elephant, my wife and daughter and two other children sitting on the elephant, and my father-in-law. They used to go at the Carp Fair every fall. It's a local fair in Ottawa.
Right.
I put all these albums away, and I meditated for 10 minutes in bed. And I was alone in the room, so I spoke out loud as if he was beside me, and I said, "Pa," I said, "I realize you are no longer here physically, but I know you are in spirit. I said, would you please send me an undeniable sign that when I'll see it, I'll know without a shadow of a doubt that it's you." And I fell asleep. The next morning at 10 o'clock, I had a work order, and it said, "Find water leak in unit." So I'm walking through this apartment, and I needed someone to go upstairs to run the shower because I wanted to see if it would leak through the ceiling. So I had a two-way radio, and I called a coworker that was working in the building across the street. Now, bear in mind, I haven't seen him for the last 2 days, so he doesn't know what I meditated for the evening before.
Right.
So I call him on the radio, and I said, "Fong," I said, "would you mind coming over and giving me a hand?" He says, "I'm on my way." He crossed the street, and as he approached me, he has a bag in his hand. He says, "Jacques," he says, "I have a gift for you." He says, "I just found it in an empty apartment." Oh, I'm curious, and I'm thinking, well, what's in the bag? I opened the bag. There was a wooden elephant. Right then and there, I knew it came from my father-in-law. So in my head, I said, "Thank you, Pa. I know you're here." Curious, I looked at Fong, and I said, "Fong," I said, "why did you bring this to me? You could have brought it home and given it to your children. You could have left it in the shop. You could have kept it for yourself. You could have given it to anyone. Why did you bring it to me?" And his answer was, "Something was telling me you'd like to have it." So that was the first instance. If you remember in the book, mm-hmm. the second experience I had recently, two Thursdays ago actually, there's a lady named Diane. Now, she's a psychic that I visited on occasion in the last 2 years as I was trying to learn more of what I was experiencing. She called me at a little after 8, and she said, "Jacques, you must come over. There's something going on." And she's never called me like this before, so I said, okay, it sounded fairly serious. So I said, okay, I'm on my way. I'll be there in half an hour. As I walked into her apartment, she closed the door behind me. She says, "I'm going to show you something. Please tell me if it resonates with you." She struck a pose and did a movement, and I got chills all over my body. I couldn't believe it. I looked at Diane, and I said, "Where did you pick this up?" I said, "This is something that my sister Carol and I used to do as we were kids." And I said, "We've never shared it with anyone, and I've never told anyone." She said, "Your sister's been shaking me for the last hour. Mm-hmm. She wants to communicate with you." So thinking that Diane was just going to channel to me, I said, "Okay, quickly, sit at the kitchen table. I'll grab a pen and paper, and you just relay to me what she's saying." So Diane sat opposite me, but to my surprise, I don't know if you've seen the movie Ghost,
mm-hmm. yes.
when Patrick Swayze enters Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
Well, this is what happened with Diane. Diane's whole physiology changed.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Carol came through. She says, "Jacques, it's Carol." She says, "I'm going to show you what happened when I passed." And to my disbelief, she started talking and telling me exactly, Carol unfortunately died of a drug overdose.
Yes.
And she described the entire scene. She says, my head is so in pain, it feels like it's going to burst. She says, my neck and spine, they're on fire. She says, I was going in and out of consciousness and vomiting. And then she says, I would convulse. And suddenly in front of my eyes, Diane starts convulsing.
Oh, dear.
This was so real. I was actually witnessing what happened in Carol's last few moments, right? But when this was done, I noticed Diane's physiology change again, returning to herself. She says, okay, I've never experienced this before. This is a first for me.
Mm-hmm.
Says, now I'm going to tell you what Carol is saying. So then I started writing. Carol was saying that she had been raped by a dark-haired gentleman, and he kept harassing her. And this was probably the last straw that she couldn't handle anymore, which is why she chose her path and left. The next thing she said is, Carol hasn't crossed completely. She's still around because what your work is, what you're presently doing with your work, you want to help a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
wants to help you reach a positive outcome. She says she's going to stick around until she sees through what you're doing, and then she's going to finish crossing and go home. So Diane went on and told me a few other things, but that was a pretty intense and amazing moment.
Now, didn't Carol passed away 30 years ago, correct?
In 1980, that's correct. That's when she died,
so
but I didn't realize apparently she didn't go all the way, or somehow she's able to come back.
Wow, this is going to be an amazing healing process for both you and Carol.
Mm-hmm.
That she can finally go home.
Yes.
Be book three.
It's amazing. I mean, and there are so many different ways that people in the spirit world communicate with us. I've just started skimming the surface. I mean, Murray has come across at least four different times in four different ways, and Carol has come now in three different ways. It's just that there's three things I've understood of this whole process. It's about belief. The more we believe, the easier it is to clearly ask what it is that we need and to be receptive.
And above all, be in heart.
Yes.
That'll bring it all through.
That is one thing that Carol, in the book, I've actually described this. When she came to me the first time, she was channeling directly to me. I don't know, it's as if when you have thoughts without talking, there's words going through your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Carol was actually doing that with me. That was a new experience for me. I heard her say, call out her. There was a clap in my head, and I heard the name Carol. And when I was surprised, I said, Carol, is that you? And she actually answered yes. And I was so excited. I said, Carol, it's been so long since I've seen you. And I started rambling on, and then I realized as I'm talking, she can't communicate back. So I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm listening now. Come, go ahead, you know. And then she started telling me. She says, Jacques, she says, go see Dad, our father. He has a lot of the issues he hasn't dealt with in his life. She says, tell him to close all the boxes and to start enjoying life. She says, for you, she says, you have a lot of decisions you want to make. She says, you have a lot of love inside. Whenever you make a decision, open your heart and allow the love to go out at the same time. And she says, you'll always make the right decision. And she says, by the way, quit focusing on trying to accumulate material things and wealth. She says, it's preventing you from becoming the person you can be. In other words, if we don't use money in the right fashion, it blinds us. Mm-hmm. A lot of other things do.
When perspective kicks in, that what is important?
Yes.
And it's good to take a bit of time out, whether it's through meditation, mm-hmm. and whether it's through prayer, whatever anyone chooses to do in order to make that connection. And then it is our experience, and it's not always easy, but to be able to be in that presence, as it were, mm-hmm. in your daily life, and being able to recognize when people are speaking to you and connecting with you mm-hmm. in a very special way. And your book describes this very, very well. And this must be exciting for you. A whole new career as a writer, your ability to find a publisher and to actually get this book out. That must be an experience in itself, because this is all very recent.
Yes, the learning curve is straight up. But like you say, it's very exciting. For a long time in my life, I would look at people and admire those who would say, there is nothing else that I would rather do than what I am presently doing.
Yeah.
And I always worked at jobs that I knew I could do, but I never saw beyond. And because of the experiences I've been having spiritually, it's opened so many venues and opportunities. And I invite people to read my book and to see that a lot of limits we impose on ourselves. And once we remove these limits, it's amazing the discovery we can come across. Like, I never knew that I could write a book, and it's so exciting. And I'm looking forward to writing more now.
Thank you so much, Jacques. You've come to this place in your life where you're able to express yourself in so many different ways and in new ways. Let me inspire others to do the same. And I think that's the purpose of your book, to open the doors for people, for yourself, and for those that you come in contact with. And throughout your book, you are in service to other people constantly, and then being able to receive that message back again, something, a gift back to you. Thank you for being on DreamPath and sharing that with everyone. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we end the show? And
well, is there a contact email address?
Actually, there's some on both of the websites.
On both sites, okay.
At august08.org or at angels-songs.com.
Okay.
Both sites have a contact number. And I welcome everyone who wants to share either phenomenal experiences that I could share with other people, actually, or who would like to give their input as to the August 08 event that they would like to manifest to make this a success.
You're listening to Jacques Bordeaux on DreamPath. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We appreciate your message and your love and your hope and your desire to connect with people in this beautiful way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dennis and Jarrah.
Thank you.
I was going to say that you must have a long list of friends and people who want to meet you because of the great work you're doing. I think this is so neat.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I hope to meet you someday, hopefully somewhere along
the
way.
Well, I have to come out and see Gary because he won't come down here.
Oh, yeah?
And every time I go to Ottawa, it's strange, but it's kind of a magical experience for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I go to Ottawa, I have a spiritual experience, and it's different every time.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens.
Well, how do you describe the energy of Ottawa? Because it's government, yet when I step in there, it's like I look at people and there are all these characters in Sleeping Beauty or something.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, when I walk in Ottawa, I see all these characters from what era would that be?
Walt Disney?
No. Oh,
Alice in Wonderland?
Well, you know, the olden days where they wore the crinolines and the dresses and they were in their castles and there was the king and the queen. That's what I see in Ottawa.
King Arthur and the... maybe a little after 1600s.
Yeah, King Arthur.
The Renaissance.
Well, if ever you're in Ottawa, feel free to give me a shout. I'd like to have you over. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the... do you like spying, taking spa?
Spa?
Yeah. A spying?
Yeah, spa. They have a Scandinavian spa in Gatineau. It's just 10 minutes from Ottawa.
Oh, yeah.
I've been two or three times, and it's incredible. They have various different types of saunas and jacuzzis, and it's all outdoors. It's on beside a rock face mountain, well, hill, I guess. And they have all the inspiring lights and waterfalls and nice full of flowers and things.
Yeah, wow. Gatineau is quite beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, then we'll join you there in the spa.
If you're around, give me a shout.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Jacques, and we'll be in touch soon.
All right, thank you for everything.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
Good evening.
Of another Dream Path show. Thank you, Jacques Bordeaux, for sharing your stories so others can share theirs as well. It's now the final boarding call. Until next time, stay in heart and connected in truth. Starship control, over and out.